The following is a KOZE podcast broadcast. This is the Snake River Gazette with your host, Keith Warnock.
No forum for politics or complaints here. It's the show that educates and entertains, the Snake River Gazette. It's brought to you by the Dream Team at Rick Woods Insurance. We call them the Dream Team because between Susan, Andrea, Trish, and Rick, they've got an amazing 138 years combined tenure with a Farmers Insurance Company, a four-generation family tradition on 21st Street at rickwoodsinsurance.com and on Facebook.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute.
Mr. Clean.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute. Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it. Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
The Snake River Gazette with your host, Keith Warnock.
Lillian Marie Bounds was born in Spalding in 1899, the 10th and final child of a Lapway family. After a standout tenure as a basketball player at Lapway High School, Lillian attended business college in Lewiston, then did secretarial work, admitting later she was a lousy secretary. Lillian was eventually talked into moving to L.A. by her sister Hazel, whose friend was acquainted with a couple of brothers down the street with a small cartoon studio. Hazel told Lillian she could probably get her a job there if she promised not to vamp the boss, as she put it, possibly because Hazel had designs on one of the men in the studio herself. But Lillian's secretarial skills proved indeed to be adequate enough because she was hired, and because she got hired, Disney came to Lewiston and stayed a bit.
Look sharp, every time you say, to feel sharp, and be on the ball. Just be sharp, you can let loose blades for the quickest, slickest shave star.
The Snake River Gazette is back.
Hello.
The KOZE podcast broadcast.
Born in Spalding, raised in Lapway, the ambitious young lady moves to Los Angeles at the behest of her sister with the prospects of a job at a cartoon studio. Lillian Bounds was more confident in her basketball skills than her secretarial. Nonetheless, she not only got hired, but married the boss, becoming Mrs. Walt Disney. And on December 18, 1933, Diane Marie Disney was born. At age 20, she met USC Trojan football player Ron Miller on a blind date. After dating, they married. Then 5 months later, Ron was drafted into the U.S. Army. Then after the service, played one season as a tight end for the L.A. Rams. The couple went on to have seven children and in the early 70s purchased a Napa Valley vineyard, then constructed their own. After devoting her earlier life to raising her seven children, Miller made it her life's work to document the life and accomplishments of her father, who she had said had been the subject of poorly researched biographies and inaccurate rumors. Now, Retlaw Enterprises, originally Walt Disney Miniature Railroad, then Walt Disney Inc., then WED Enterprises, was a privately held company owned by Diane and the other heirs of Walt Disney. The name Retlaw, of course, is Walter, spelled backwards. In 1968, Retlaw started to diversify by acquiring its first TV station in Fresno. The rest of the Retlaw acquisition served Monterey, Salinas, California, Augusta, Georgia, Idaho Falls, Pocatello, along with Yakima, Walla Walla, and the Tri-Cities, and KLAW-TV here in Lewiston. And, of course, since Disney owns, among others, Pixar, ABC, ESPN, and so on, our ties to the Disney empire, while perhaps not dynamic, nonetheless did exist. Fisher Broadcasting has since purchased KLAW and other Retlaw properties. And family members and local historians will tell you that part of the reason, of course, of the acquisition of the Lewiston property was obvious. Diane Disney Miller still loved the area where her mother was born and raised. By the way, Retlaw originally purchased those six stations, starting with Fresno, in 1990 for a total of $37 million. They were estimated at the time to be worth $100 million. And Disney remains the world's second biggest media company, behind only Comcast. Diane Disney Miller passed away on November 19, 2013, at age 79, from medical complications that developed after a fall. Up next, was there a Lewiston serial killer? Do we know who it is? And why hasn't he been caught?
Who's the leader
of the club that's made for you and me. M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E. Hey there, hi there, ho there, you're as welcome as can be.
M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E.
The Snake River Gazette with Keith Warnock at KOZE.com.
I remember just over 40 years ago, on a Saturday, April 28, 1979, the Assotin County Fair was well underway. And among myself, an Assotin resident at the time, and many other attendees, was Christina Lee White, a brown-haired, brown-eyed 12-year-old sixth grader at Assotin Elementary. Clad in blue jeans, red leather sneakers, and a pink striped shirt, she called her mother at around 2:30 in the afternoon and asked to be picked up from the fair because she wasn't feeling well. Her mother suspected heat stroke as a possibility due to her daughter's history of it, but at that moment she didn't have immediate access to a vehicle, so she instructed Christina to put a wet towel around her neck and wait for her at the bottom of a hill. Christina then hopped on her bike and rode to a friend's at 503 2nd Street and asked for a wet towel. Her 10-year-old friend, washing dogs in the backyard, didn't notice Christina at first, but his stepfather got Christina a wet towel and sent her on her way home. Meanwhile, Christina's mother waited anxiously at the bottom of the hill and began canvassing the area, asking everyone she saw if they had seen a child fitting Christina's description. Soon the police were searching the Assotin County Fairgrounds, thoroughly interviewing and investigating employees of the carnival company, but finding no leads in her disappearance. Not to be deterred, Christina's father still spent the next several days following the carnival from town to town until he too was satisfied that they were not involved. Christina White, who would be 52 years old today, is still missing, and although believed to be deceased, her body has never been found. On Friday, June 26, 1981, a witness saw Kristen David, a 22-year-old student at the University of Idaho, riding her bicycle from Moscow to her summer job at the Twin City Foods plant in Lewiston. Nothing unusual about it from Kristen's standpoint or anyone who knew her well. She'd made this ride many times. But 8 days later, on Saturday, the 4th of July, 1981, two fishermen in a boat near the Red Wolf Crossing Bridge in Lewiston noticed a black plastic garbage bag bobbing in the water near the North Shore. Curious, of course, they opened the bag to find the remains of a woman's torso and leg. With no radio on board, they asked another nearby boat to radio it in and then waited for the police to arrive. Searching the area just downriver from the bridge, authorities found more bags containing human body parts, all within 300 yards from where the fishermen found the first bag. Police figured the killer dumped the bags from atop the bridge, likely in the middle of the night or early morning hours. The state crime lab quickly identified the discarded body as that of Kristen David. Another witness did come forward a bit later, claiming he may have seen Kristen talking to someone in a brown van that had stopped along Highway 95 to, as it appeared to the witness, assist a young woman on the side of the road. Some of us who lived in the Lewis-Clark Valley at the time I was working for KOZE remember the fearful question that rippled through the community at the time, as some people sent their children to school only in groups and wouldn't let them play outside after dark. Residents wondered, could one of the fishermen who found Kristen's body and the man who last saw Christina White alive be one and the same? A strange disappearance and an unsolved violent murder, but not just two shocking isolated incidents. The story grows after this.
Hi, Charlie. What you watching?
Ballet.
Oh, how is it?
Too soon to tell. So far, it's been nothing but dancing. But I'll watch it anyway, to show Starkist my good taste.
But Charlie, Starkist don't want tunas with good taste. Starkist wants tunas that taste good.
Hey, that's for me.
Sorry, Charlie. Only good-tasting tuna get to be Starkist. Good-tasting 100% prime fillet.
This is good-tasting tuna.
Get Starkist tuna.
Note the name. Starkist.
I'm a very lucky boy. I get a Tootsie Pop. And I'm a very lucky girl. I got a Tootsie Pop. All of the kids in the neighborhood say Tootsie Pop's a triple good. Triple good. And you remind your mom to buy the Tootsie Pop party pack. 10 delicious pops in assorted flavors. And look, there's a gamer puzzle on the back, too. So remember, all of the kids in the neighborhood say Tootsie Roll Pops are triple good, triple good. You'll love Tootsie Roll Pops.
The Snake River Gazette with Keith Warnock.
35-year-old Stephen Pearsall, shy, easygoing, and soft-hearted, was last seen carrying a light blue cloth duffel bag of dirty laundry into the Lewiston Civic Theater around midnight on September 12, 1982. He lived in an apartment on 4th Street, the same block and side of street as Christina Nelson, and also attended art classes at Lewis Clark State College with her. Pearsall's girlfriend told police she had dropped him off at the theater, where he worked as a janitor and set builder so he could do his laundry in the theater's washer-dryer while practicing his clarinet. A police patrol officer confirmed seeing Pearsall enter the building through a side door late that night. His prized clarinet was found on the scene, but Pearsall was never seen again. 21-year-old Christina Nelson lived in a modest home at 233 4th Street. Her stepsister Jacqueline, more commonly known as Brandy, lived a few streets over at 412 6th Avenue. Both were originally from Boise, attended Lewis Clark State College, and worked at the Lewiston Civic Theater, which is what would become a pivotal location in the Lewis Clark Valley mystery. On the evening of September 12, 1982, the girls left Christina's home for a shopping trip to Safeway. Christina left a note on the door of her house telling her boyfriend where they were going with instructions to go ahead and enter the home, make himself comfortable, and wait for them to return. After waiting all night, the boyfriend reported their disappearance to the Lewiston police. Police are unsure where Christina and Brandy went that night, but recognize that their trip to Safeway would have led them past the Lewiston Civic Theater. They have strong suspicions that the two women, for a reason that is still not clear, entered the theater that night, either from or to their way to the grocery store. On March 19, 1984, 14-year-old Marvin Meade was collecting cans along Highway 3 near Kendrick when a tree limb knocked his hat off into a ravine. While retrieving it, he reached down to pick up what he at first thought was a deer skull, only to soon realize it was human. Two bodies with clothing were discovered and identified as Christina Nelson and Brandy Miller. Multiple published accounts claim that Lewiston police believe the disappearance of Christina White, the murder of Kristen David, and on a single night on September 12, 1982, the disappearances of Stephen Pearsall, Christina Nelson, and Brandy Miller are all the work of a single serial killer. According to published accounts as recent as 2014, Lewiston police are convinced they've known for years exactly who the killer is, a former longtime local resident who would be about 73 years old now, but they lack the evidence to make an arrest. We shall hear from the late Jim Soik and take a fun look at the year 1966 next. First, this quick reminder about the Dream Team at Rick Woods Insurance on 21st Street, Lewiston, online at rickwoodsinsurance.com, and on Facebook, Life, Home, Auto, Business. You want peace of mind, you want experience. The Dream Team, Rick Woods Insurance.
The Snake River Gazette with your host, Keith Warnock.
The year was 1966. The quotes, "Beam me up, Scotty. Have it your way, and fly the friendly skies." For 30 years until 1966, black Americans going on a road trip often used a motorist green book that would list businesses that sold to people of color. The book helped travelers avoid one of 10,000 sundown towns where it was the law for all non-white people to leave the town by sundown. A desktop calculator in 1966 cost over $1,000. That's about $7,500 today, adjusted for inflation. By the early 70s, they were still around $200, or what would be about $1,500 today. When James Robert Ringrose, one of the FBI's 10 most wanted fugitives, was arrested in 1966, he presented the FBI agents with a get-out-of-jail-free card from the Monopoly game. Mrs. Miller was a middle-aged housewife with no formal music training. Whose first album, Mrs. Miller's Greatest Hits, consisted of badly sung covers of popular pop songs from bands like the Beatles. Her album reached number 15 on the Billboard's Top Albums chart in 1966. Kevlar and AstroTurf were invented in 1966. Sir Christopher Lee did not speak in the 66 film Dracula, Prince of Darkness because he thought the lines for Dracula were so appalling that he refused to say them. On August 13, 1966, in response to John Lennon's more popular than Jesus comment, a radio station in Texas held a burning of Beatles merchandise. The next day, the broadcast tower was struck by lightning, damaging much of their equipment and sending the news director to the hospital. James D. French was an American murderer who was put to death in 1966 by the electric chair. His last words were, "How's this for your headline? French fries." Jeremiah Denton, a POW during the Vietnam War for 8 years, gave a televised interview in 1966 in which he blinked his eyes in Morse code to spell out the words torture to communicate that his captors were torturing him and his fellow POWs. When the game of Twister was introduced in 1966, it was denounced by critics as sex in a box. A PR firm got Johnny Carson to play the party game with one of his guests, actress Zsa Zsa Gabor, popularizing the game. Newsday columnist Mike McGrady and his colleagues, using the pen name Penelope Ash, wrote an intentionally bad novel featuring no plot and many sex scenes. They were trying to make a point about literary standards and the tastes of readers. It became a bestseller. Naked came the stranger. First and biggest Christmas gifts of 1966 included Spirograph, of course Twister, Barrel of Monkeys, Crazy Maze, and the Viewmaster with TV-themed reels. We had those. Cool. The 8-track was a newfangled option on many Ford cars. The biggest television shows of 1966 included two newcomers, The Jackie Gleason Show on CBS, and Bewitched on ABC. And the top song of 1966, I'm a Believer by The Monkees. Whose TV show aired September 66 to March of 68. Though they didn't make the 1966 TV Top 10 list, the show did win two Emmys in 1967.
Here's to good friends. Tonight is kind of special. The beer will pour. Must say something more somehow. So tonight, let it be Lone Brown.
Let it be Lone Brown.
Yo-ho, yo-ho, brush, let's all add our voice, whichever you've the notion.
50 cents for shaving cream, a dollar for the lotion.
With the ship that sails the ocean. Yo-ho, yo-ho.
The Snake River Gazette with Keith Warnock. The KOZE podcast broadcast.
Last week on the Snake River Gazette, we shared a lot about the late, great Jim Soik, a personal friend, great guy. And we promised you that you would hear from Jim Soik today, perhaps a side you've never heard.
Now, I was a fella from Stockholm, Sweden, always all about these beatniks I'm reading. So I went to California to investigate. Man, this beatnik stuff is really great. I learned this generation and I copied their style. I talked beat lingo and after a while I bought the beret and I grew a long beard. And I was beat man, a real crazy bird. I'm a beatnik Swede and I'm just having fun. Hungry, happy, nonconforming son of a gun. I don't have a job and I don't have a dime. I dig jazz music and a rockin' wild time. I like that poetry too. What is that crazy tea that they drink? Hey, don't stop working, it's a 2-bar break. One fine day when I was hitting a lick in this offbeat place, I spotted a chick. The reason that I notice her, the first thing I see, she's got a beard too, even better than me. Eyes just like hubcaps, her name was Mabel. Long funny legs like a dining room table. We strike it right up and I ask her whether we could be sweethearts not shaving together. I'm a beatnik Swede and I'm just having fun. Hungry, happy, non-conforming son of a gun. I don't have a job and I don't have a dime. I dig jazz music in a rock and wild time. Oh, what do you say, Mabel? Come on. Come on along. Let's go down to the tea house.
Or how about this one?
My name is Ferguson. I'm a dirty old alley cat. And every night about midnight, I walk this fence, checking the action. And there's where old Rag Arm lives. Wonder if he's asleep yet. I better give him a shout.
Meow! Meow!
Quiet out there! Can a man get any rest? I'll fix you!
Old Rag Arm must be running out of shoes. He couldn't hit a boxcar with a bus.
Garbage can. Wonder if there's any goodies in here. Some yuck gravy. Yeah, half a can of spaghetti. Oh, I am. Hey, what's this? Oh, sausage pizza. Oh, boy, baby, oh, boy.
Now I feel better.
You say but, you said a lot of things nobody else can say.
When you say but, it means you want the beer that's got a taste that's number one. When you say but, you tell the world you know what makes it all the way. When you say but, you say you care enough to only want the king of beer. There is the other one, it's leading from the rest. When you say Budweiser,
you've said it all.
This is the Snake River Gazette with Keith Warnock.
That'll do it for this edition of the Snake River Gazette. Got to give a shout out to the real historians whose painstaking efforts lead to all this great material. Thanks for the tireless efforts of people like Steve Branting, Dick Riggs, Jennifer Bauer, and Gary Bush. And it occurs to me, we're talking about Rick Woods Insurance, the people that bring you the Snake River Gazette each and every week, that they have all this experience and tenure with Farmers Insurance and all that, and that is so true, and they give you such peace of mind when you're doing business with them, as we do. But I guess the thing that it comes down to is that they do business like we do business in the Lewis Clark Valley. No pretense, none of the kind of the awkward, stuffy feeling that you get in some places. It's a pleasure. Rick Woods Insurance on 21st Street, Lewiston, online at rickwoodsinsurance.com and on Facebook. Next week, we'll take a close-up look at the seedier side of Lewiston's past, take a swing through the 70s, and meet a bona fide local hero who deserves some serious credit. Thanks for joining us. See you next week.
Download the podcast at KOZE.com and hear new episodes Sunday mornings at 10 on AM 950 KOZE.